What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear: strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chasing Big Joe. 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Wednesday. Hope you're having a great start to your day. He is Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. What's up, JoJo?
36 hours away, man, from the NFL season starting. We have made it. Well, almost made it, so I can't wait to see the Chiefs and Ravens tomorrow night. And I got this question for you, Chase McCabe. This is not our question of the day. But I was looking through a bunch of stuff, NFL teams, yada, yada, yada. If I gave you four teams – and I took 28. Would you take that if you could pick the four teams? Chiefs, Ravens, Niners, Cowboys. I was looking today. There are so many average NFL teams out there, it's not even funny. Those four to me stood. I'm telling you, Cowboys got something. You could laugh.
They don't have a run game. That's what concerns me.
They can figure it out.
You
take those four? Who would you add in there?
That's a really good question.
Because I'm telling you what. There's so many average teams in the National Football League now that I was going through the list.
You are giving me the Chiefs and the Niners, the two teams in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
And then the Ravens and the Cowboys.
Two from the NFL, two from the NFC, two from the AFC.
All right. You're not giving me the Bills. You're not giving me the Bengals.
Bengals aren't going anywhere. Stop.
You're not giving me the Dolphins. I'm just saying the teams that
they're not
remotely have a chance. Houston. Man, that's a really tough question.
I'm taking those four.
The Eagles. I'll take those four.
Thanks.
That's a really good question.
I was looking through all the teams and just like nothing stands out. And until they can figure out Mahomes out.
But you know how this works. One of those four teams, by the time we get to, October – one of those four teams, we might be going like, oh, what's going on with them? Like, there's always that one team that everybody thinks is going to be awesome.
Right.
And then something – and maybe it's Baltimore.
I think it's the Chiefs. I think they did
last year. I don't think they're three-peating. I mean, last year, I don't think anybody thought they were going to get back to the Super Bowl, let alone win it. And somehow, some way, they did.
They went on the road and exercised so many demons. But, I don't know, I was just out there this morning thinking about it. So, as we move on. We'll do our Titan stuff on Friday. Make a little prediction.
Sure.
5-12, 4-13. That's where I'm going now.
Is that what you want to do?
Not now. I'm just telling you. I'm planting a seed in your head.
Okay. Are we putting that on the grid?
We can. We could do that. Good morning, man. How are you, man?
Last night, there's been so much football. I got home and I'm like, oh, I wonder what. Oh wait, it's Tuesday. I guess they're hitting a game on.
Did you watch dumb baseball?
I did watch some dumb baseball.
What did you watch?
I watched the Braves.
Who'd they play?
They played the Colorado Rockies.
Braves in it, out of it. How far back?
Yeah, they're in it. They lost a heartbreaker on Sunday to the Phillies, and they shouldn't have. They are now. I'm pulling it up here. I think they're going to be okay. They're only a half game ahead of the Mets in the wild card, but I mean they're still hanging on.
What if in an alternate universe that the Mets and Braves tie, right? And the team that gets in is a fist fight between you and Willie in the parking lot. It would be the biggest slap fest I've ever seen in my life.
That'd actually be fun.
You and
it
him,
wouldn't go well.
Back there to do that. Well, good, man.
Yeah.
Who's the best team in baseball?
That's a good question. I mean,
Dr. Crane's a baseball savant.
I mean, Baltimore's been really good in the American League. Probably Houston. still?
Yeah, maybe Houston. I mean, LA.
I think the Phillies are going to be. I mean, the Phillies and Dodgers, you know.
Yeah, all the acquisitions they made at the deadline for the Dodgers are just like reloading to win a World Series. I mean, you go pick up Jack Flaherty at the deadline. That's impressive. Pick up Kopech in a three-way trade. Tommy Edman from St. Louis.
Do you think Cleveland's sneaky, though? Like, they're in that, and it's a terrible division, but they're ahead of that division, and they have been pretty much all year. I could see them making a run.
Yeah, I mean, if this team stays healthy and they don't get in any sort of issue with, you know, other teams in their division, like, I feel like they should be fine. I mean, like you said, it's a very weak division.
Yeah, it's
going to come down to pitching for them.
The West is too, the AL West, but I'm not going to count Houston out until they're out.
Tommy Kopech is that's the one. You get him in there, and who does he play for?
The Dodgers.
Dodgers, okay. Doing that. I have a little bone to pick with you, Dr. Crane.
Oh, God.
It's not bad.
Did spaghetti make your tummy hurt? Or?
Spaghetti was fantastic. And I haven't checked my Mega Millions numbers yet, but if I win, I'm opening a restaurant.
Thank you.
It's called The Real Facilities.
I got some things you can do with that Mega Millions that would really help me out.
You're number two on the list. But Nani's birthday, and the fact you brought it up at 10:56, I had a problem with that.
I'm sorry. And my brother's birthday was yesterday, and I didn't miss anything either.
What's going on with you?
My brain just kind of has a foggy thing on it. I don't know how to get rid of it, but it happens.
Never apologize for success or your family, all right?
Yeah.
You should know that, being Italian.
Yeah, your family is our family.
Yeah.
Thank you. Likewise.
That's how this works.
So Nani's birthday was Monday?
And I met your brother.
Yes, you have. You have.
And then what do you call him, Bubba? What's his name?
I just call him Bubba. Tony.
What
so
do you call him?
My dad, hey, Tony. My dad is a Tony, and my brother is a Tony. So my dad, when I was a kid, was called Big Tony, and my brother was called Little Tony. But their physiques are opposite.
So that's why I'm Chase.
Beautiful.
That is the exact reason why I'm Chase. My dad was like, because I'm the fourth.
Uh-huh.
My dad was like, I don't want him to be Charlie, because I don't want him to be Little Charlie, or my dad, because that's what he had to deal with. His dad was Charlie, and so it was Big Charlie, Little Charlie, and he got this nickname that he hated named Tuffy, that he didn't want me to get stuck with a nickname I hated and stuff. So he's like, let's call him something different. And so that's where Chase came from.
Interesting. Now I've known you for 10 years. Now you're not telling me that.
Yep.
That was okay.
It's good to know.
Well, I like that.
But yeah, happy belated birthday to my brother Tony. He's in a golf tournament today, so hopefully he's
hit him straight.
Hitting him well, yep.
But Nani had a birthday Monday.
She did.
Okay. September 2nd.
Yep.
Did you get her flowers?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah, we got that all things situated for sure.
She is the backbone of this show, and so we have to honor her, and it was her birthday, and so next year bring it up
a
month before.
Thank you.
Next year it'll be in celebrity birthdays.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, yes. Right. I will say that's one lady. You know, men out there that have a significant other, you know, that they love deeply.
Not me.
You'll get there. You'll get there. Everybody will get there, right?
Hey, now, don't wish that kind of thing on me.
Do you have a relative named Fredo?
Not near.
No, I don't.
Nobody named Fredo?
There's some names out there that are similar, but not like that.
Do you have a Fredo in your family?
I don't believe so. Not an Alfredo.
No, I mean, like a Fredo.
Like a Godfather Fredo. No,
like
don't.
A backstabber Fredo.
Oh.
Every family's got one.
Probably.
Okay. Yeah. All right, just checking.
Somewhere.
Just checking. All right, man.
But like,
so I feel better now.
Okay. As I was saying, though, like, everybody has a love of their life. For me.
That's how I would say.
My grandmother is the absolute just lock and key to my whole. She's my rock.
I love it.
So if everybody out if you're just struggling with something, go find your rock in your life.
I like that, pal. My first and always true love, my first celebrity crush. I mean, that's our question, though. Your first celebrity crush. Donna Mills from Knott's Landing. And she's like 87, and she's still beautiful. When she was on Knott's Landing, Donna Mills was, I mean, pristine. I was so in love with her. Who was your first celebrity crush?
Oh, that's easy.
If you say Willie, I'm coming over and smack you.
Rachel Karen Green. Who's Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. I love it. It's a generational thing. What about you,
and
Dr.
look,
Crane?
She's 55 years old and
stunning.
From everything I can tell, obviously, I've never met her. I would love to. She seems like a genuinely good person. And I appreciate that.
Yeah. Bruce Almighty. She was fantastic in Bruce Almighty.
Yeah. I mean, there's been some movies she was awesome in, and then obviously is Rachel Green on Friends.
What's the movie where the dog died? Milo?
My Dog Skip. No.
Marley and Me, yeah.
Yeah.
I recommend not watching that.
No, I can't.
I recommend highly not watching
that
movie.
If I watch that movie, I'm done for a week.
Oh, yeah. I'm with you, man.
Like, I watched that movie, and I immediately, like, we were going to do something. It was with a group. I was like, I got to go home. Yeah. And I went home and hugged my dog.
Right.
Like, I walked in and literally just hugged my dog for
it's so rough.
An hour.
Dr. Crane, who's your celebrity crush?
July 9th, 2006, Shakira at the World Cup halftime show was phenomenal. Her and Wyclef Jean. That's when I just fell in love with Shakira.
Well, she...
I like that you gave a specific date, too.
Yeah.
That's
and I
impressive.
Had chicken parmesan for lunch that day with broccoli and...
chicken parmesan.
And a little pasta.
Wait, you were only 8 years old.
I was. Second grade.
Impressive.
8 years old and you fell in love with Shakira. I like that.
Why do I remember that? It's probably one of the best days of my life, seeing my grandparents.
Shakira,
again, this
Shakira.
Same story. My grandparents are part of this whole entire story, so which is great. Seeing a smile on their face.
Jamie Erdahl rocking the Oilers today.
What is she on? What is that? Good Morning Football?
Yeah. She's the one that's like picking the Titans to make the playoffs and be sneaky good.
She must have a connection with the Titans.
I don't know.
Along those lines. All right, Shakira, Rachel Green, Donna Mills. There you go. There's our question.
Yeah.
Your first celebrity crush. We got a lot of football to talk about today.
Yeah, we do. 615-737-1025. Rebecca says Chase is a great name. Thank you, Rebecca. Appreciate
Chase
that.
Is a good name. Every time I drive by the Chase Bank in Donaldson, I laugh. Because you should take full advantage of that.
You know what's funny? In this city, I have a Chase Bank and I have a McCabe Park.
You do. And a golf course.
And a golf course.
I think you should
go be a pub.
Into Chase Bank and just have a desk. And like, what are you doing here? And like, I'm Chase.
Yeah. This is my bank.
Just sit there. And it's my desk. And like, all right. They're not going to throw you out. You're not threatening anyone. You're just hanging out in your place. Fine. There you go. A lot of Chases around.
0247 says Linda Carter. Wonder Woman.
Beautiful.
I actually have a story about her, too.
I saw her on TV like last week doing some political nonsense, and she's beautiful.
My dad, this is a story he always told me. He lived in California in the LA area for like 2.5-3 years. He told me he went on a date with Linda Carter. and supposedly it's true. I've asked a few people, and they're like, no, that's actually true.
Wow, she could have been your stepmom.
I guess. Well, this was before. This was way before me.
Oh.
This was way before me.
Okay.
Wow. This was, she was, I mean, I think it was when she was filming the pilot for Wonder Woman.
Nice,
so this
buddy.
Was, this was, yeah. My dad was full of stories.
I keep forgetting you weren't born to the 80s.
87.
80s. God, 87.
Good time, for sure.
Young man.
We are up and running here on a Wednesday, and you can tell we're all over the place, and those are usually good shows when that happens.
It does. I got coming up. I got something football-wise that I don't care about. And I don't think you care about it either. And I know Dr. Crane doesn't care about it.
All right.
Yet it's talked about all the time.
We will do that coming up next. Plus, John McClain will join us at 9:30. Coach Derek Mason at 10 o'clock today here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chasing Big Joe, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. And, of course, our show is also presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. All right, what is something about football that none of us care about that we talk about?
By the way, we're at the Omni tomorrow.
Yeah, we are.
Can't wait.
I can't wait.
I can't wait. And if Dennis Quaid's publicist is listening, please return my email. We're trying to get Dennis Quaid on the show. You know, he's got a movie out called Reagan, but he's been in two really good sports movies, and he lives here somewhere in Middle Tennessee. So, Scott, if you're listening, email me back. Don't make me come to your office. Dr. Crane, do we have it? I'll tell you when to play it. Here's what I say, Chase. This drives me crazy. And I heard Paul and Robbie and what's the other Joe talking about it, right?
What's the other one?
and that's fine. You got passion for it. But when it comes to your fantasy football team,
I'm here to tell you right now, we don't care.
Let me tell you
we don't care.
Don't talk to me about your fantasy football team. I truly don't care. I really don't. You got Tony Pollard, and you got I don't care. And a lot of people don't care about your fantasy football team. And I'm not being negative, Nelly. I just don't care. One more time.
I'm here to tell you right now, we don't care.
Let me tell you something.
We don't care.
That's it. I don't care about your fantasy. Are you playing fantasy football this year?
No. I haven't played fantasy football in the last, I think this will be my third year away from it, and I'm a much happier person.
Thank you.
Here's the deal. So most fantasy leagues, you know, the ones I played in, it was like $100 or a little bit more, you know, to buy in, right? And I've started just, now that sports betting's legal, like I would rather just do that each week.
That's a good point.
And that's how I do it. And touchdown parlays and things like that. I just, that has my focus now.
There's an instantaneous reward for you instead of waiting. Bingo. Week 15.
Bingo.
I call that a retirement fund because that could happen in one weekend.
That's right. I got out about 5-6 years. I couldn't take the stress. I couldn't take the stress of staying up, watching a Monday night game between Seattle and Arizona, and I got a Seattle receiver, and I'm down 3 points. And he doesn't score, and I lose. I get no sleep. I get mad. My anxiety goes to another level. I just, for all you play it, I was in a league for like 26 years with the same 10 guys. Loved it, but I had – for my mental health, we talk a lot about mental health, and we might laugh about fantasy football. It was really eating me up inside. And I'm like, Chase, I feel 1,000 times better that I stopped playing fantasy football.
Yeah. I mean, my mental health is better.
Yeah. And then you have a tight end who gets injured. Like, well, I'm playing Dr. Crane this week, and I got to find a tight end. And then you're worried all day about, I was like, I can't. It's fantasy football. I had to stop doing that. So that's why I got out.
I know. I had a friend that was like asking me for fantasy football advice, which I'm fine with. Like, hey, I'll help you. But then I don't have to worry about setting my lineup every week and, you know, drops and
yeah,
just all this stuff. It takes too much time.
It does.
It takes too much time. So I agree with you. And the one thing about that, here's a great question for June. This is a June topic.
Yeah.
What is the one thing that annoys you that everyone, including yourself, is guilty of doing? Talking about your fantasy football team is one of those things.
Right.
We have all done it.
Okay.
And it annoys the crap out of all of us, but we have all done it. Yeah. We're all guilty of that. Anybody that says they're not, you're lying. Like, that's the way it is.
Right. So I just was like, I need for my sanity to get away. Now, if you still play it, that's fine. You know, once it moved to those PPR leagues, which really bugged me.
Yeah.
Because I was in a basic scoring league for so many years, and it was fun that way. But when I come, you know, we moved to PPR and like, hey, I beat you 198 to 174. It's not football. I mean, that's just it didn't do it for me. So I just kind of, like Homer, I went into the bushes. And I was gone, man. I was done with all that. But if you play, that's fantastic, and I hope you win your league. It's just that we don't care.
Yeah.
Thanks, okay. Joe. Appreciate you guys. Love the support.
Are you in the league?
I am.
Good. No, that's fine.
Did y'all do your little producer league again?
No. I was wondering where that was.
Little producer league.
I didn't get an invite.
They did a league last year, and like, you know, I heard about it. I'm like, really? I probably would have said no, but I'm like, really? Like,
just heads up, was not the GM of that league. Don't know who was.
Okay. So. He's not going to invite the boss? Okay, cool. Yeah,
didn't happen.
Willing to do one if we want. I mean, it's all.
No, no. I'm just giving you crap.
Well,
no.
I was open to doing a league, actually.
I know. But. Yeah, that's fine. Well, see if they want to do one. You still got time.
Watch it. Joe, would you want to be in this league?
No.
No. I mean, we don't. But
not at all. Not even an auto draft. I'm not doing that stuff.
Bob says a sign of growing up is giving up fantasy football.
Thank you, Bob. It's about time at 55 I grow up. Yeah. I'm not sure how much more time I got left, but I'll take advantage of every day.
You're just beginning, Joe. 55 is like the start of everything.
Oh, by the way, speaking of 55, the comedian we had a few weeks ago, Greg Warren, that we had in studio,
yeah,
he's making his Opry debut tonight.
Oh, nice.
And I sent him a note, and I said, ironically, you get an Opry invite after being on the Chase and Big Joe show. I don't think that's a coincidence.
I don't think it is.
And he said, you're right. Good things have happened after I've been on y'all's show.
And then he said, lose my number.
Then he did say, lose my number. He said, get away from me. So good luck to Greg tonight.
New
on
phone.
The,
who is this?
On the Opry. Big things happen when you come on the Chase and Big Joe show.
So let me ask you this. If you're the Titans defense, if you're Denard Wilson, you know, we can sit here and we can say, hey, you want to rattle Caleb Williams. You want to get to Caleb Williams. You want to make him make a mistake. How much respect do you have do you show him, though? He's a rookie. He hasn't done anything in this league. He hasn't seen defenses in this league. You know, college defenses compared to the NFL suck. So how do you attack him? Do you attack him like he's been doing this a while, or do you attack him like he's a rookie?
What is he?
He's a rookie.
Attack him. Send the right, whole town.
But like, what is the plan? Like, are you just sending Landry after him the whole time? It's not like you have a great pass rush. So what is your plan if you're Denard Wilson?
I'm playing man-to-man coverage, and I'm sending safeties, linebackers. I am hitting him every time he throws the ball. He has never played in a professional football league. Preseason does not count.
No.
He's never played in a game. Make it the worst experience of his life. And if Denard Wilson sits back and plays a zone, and he's a good quarterback, you'll pick him apart. Yeah. Zone now is terrible. It's just because quarterbacks can pick you apart. I would just go after him, and I would send everybody after him as much as I can. You beat me one-on-one? All right, beat me one-on-one. Yeah. But I'm not going to let you stay in the pocket and destroy me that way.
Not yeah, happening. I mean, because look, there's a lot of hype with that receiving core that they have like there is here because, you know, obviously they already had DJ Moore that they got last year. Then they got Keenan Allen this year and then drafted Roman Dunze. So that's their big three. You know, so he's, you know, they're trying to give him those weapons. Plus they added Swift at running back. So he's got weapons to use. You just can't let him have time to use them. That's the thing. So my whole thing is make him make a mistake. Once he makes a mistake or two, you're in his head.
And that's what it should be. I mean, you got Landry, Simmons, Kenneth Murray's had a decent, you know, preseason.
You just added Ernest Jones in the middle.
Yeah. He's second team, though, right now.
Yeah, right now.
Right now. And I would just go after him, man. I'm telling you, it's you make a quarterback uncomfortable. In the games you watch this weekend in college football, when quarterbacks are uncomfortable, they can't do anything. You've got to go after him. You have to. And I think that's the plan. Look, Denard Wilson, as a coordinator, they've talked about when Jamal Adams came over, he's like, look, I want to get back with Denard because the way he plays defense, we go after people. I'm like, yeah, that's what I like to hear. So I'd go after him on Sunday. If he beats you one-on-one, he beats you one-on-one. But I'm not going to let you beat me, sit in the pocket, and pick me apart.
Yeah. I mean, I 100% agree with you. And again, for me, it's just make him make a mistake.
Yeah.
Now, they're saying the same thing about Will Levis, even though, you know, and here's the other thing, like, that you have to look at Levis. Even though he's got 9 games of experience or whatever it is, he's still a rookie in many, many ways, especially because the offense has changed.
Who has a better offense on paper, the Bears or the Titans?
On paper?
Mm-hmm. That's all we can go by right now.
That's a really good question.
Thank you so much.
I mean, I want to say the Titans.
Or you could say it's even.
Yeah, I mean, it might be.
Who the Bears got a receiver? Keenan Allen, DJ Moore.
And Roman Dunze.
And Roman Dunze, yep.
All right, so would you take – that's the question. Would you take Keenan Allen, Roman Dunze, and DJ Moore, and then Swift at running back? Or would you take Ridley, Hopkins, Boyd, and then Pollard?
What you just said, Ridley and the boys.
Yeah.
That's what I'm taking.
I would, too.
I'm taking those guys. Now, then you come down to the quarterback play. I mean, is it
– yeah.
Who do you take right now? Levis, or do you take
– I mean, I'm taking the guy with 9 games of experience.
Thank you. Yeah. So it all adds up in the Titans' favor. I just
– I mean, on paper, Caleb Williams should probably be the better quarterback, but he hadn't played a meaningful snap in the NFL.
He hasn't been hit in the face in a pro game yet. And so maybe sweat can land on him.
Maybe.
And then it's like, oh my goodness. So
Wes and Hermitage, what is the plan?
So yeah, I like the Titans on paper right now.
Yeah. You know, I mean, look, I told you this yesterday. I said this on Chicago radio. They made fun of me for it. That's fine. I do think this is a situation because I've seen Titans football enough, and I've seen, by the way, the stat, I think it's since 2002. First round pick quarterbacks in their first start are like 0-14-1.
Nice.
You know who the last win was?
There's not a win in there.
Well, before that.
Oh, gosh.
I saw this last night, and I was like, you've got to be kidding me.
Great one. I'm going to go the last.
2002. 2002 is the last time a win happened.
2002. Rookie quarterback. Hold on. Joey Harrington.
No.
Akili Smith.
No.
Rookie quarterback, 2002. It wasn't Carson Palmer. He was at USC still.
Would you like a hint?
Give me the team.
If I give you the team.
Give me the conference.
AFC.
AFC, okay. 2000. Oh, hold on real quick. 2002. It's not Brady because he was 2000. Hold on, let me go down. Bengals, Browns, not Kelly Holcomb and the Browns. Bengals, no.
Okay, here's your hint. He's an analyst. He's on TV.
So it means his last year in college was 01. Jesse Palmer.
No. His brother's playing.
Hold on. What conference in college did he play in?
I don't even remember.
His brother's playing now. So hold on, man. You're killing me with this. I got to go down. Not the Jets.
Where did he? He played. I'll give you the college.
Okay,
Fresno State. Come on, you got this.
It's not Billy Bullock. It's not Dilfer.
No, first round pick.
Oh, Carr.
David Carr.
David Carr.
David Carr won his first start.
With the Texans?
Against Dallas.
Oh, that's right, on that Sunday night or Monday night game, whatever it was.
And apparently that's the last time it happened.
All right. Well, there you go.
I mean, that's why a lot of the gambling people are putting that out there. You should ask our next guest about that, because he can probably tell you exactly what happened in that game.
I like it.
John McClain going to join us next from Houston. Big Joe's going to anchor that. I got to step away for a second, but I will be back. He is next on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
All right, welcome back here to the People Show, the Chase and Big Joe Show here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Brought to you by our good friends at the Omni Nashville Hotel. We'll be at the Omni tomorrow. Always love going down there and seeing our good friend Todd Rodermill. This is one of my favorite times of the week. We get to bring in the great, incomparable John McClain, who joins us on the show. John, good morning. Football is here. Let's start off, John. First question for you today is, Chase and I were just talking about rookie quarterbacks. The last time a rookie quarterback won in his first start, you were at that game, David Carr, 2002. Why is it so hard, John, for a rookie to win in the National Football League?
Because they see things they're not prepared for, and they don't get enough playing time in preseason, and you can't give them playing time in preseason because if they're the starters, then you'd have to start all the other starters, especially the offensive linemen. I saw Bill Belichick talking about that on Pat McAfee 3 weeks ago, about if you're going to play your starting quarterback, you have to play your starting line. And most of your other starters, to help protect them, because they'd be playing with a bunch of guys that aren't on the team. So it's difficult because the game is faster. Once they get out there on the field, it moves so much faster. The windows to throw the ball are so much tighter than college football. They haven't seen anything complicated in preseason. It's all been vanilla. Now, the Texans, who host the Bears in their home opener next week on Sunday Night Football, of course, they're hoping the Titans can soften up Caleb Williams for that next game. And Williams, every time I watch Hard Knocks, Joe, and I watch them all, I've watched every one of them since the show's inception, because it takes me places I can't go covering a team. And so it's hard not to get caught up in the team. The Jets with Rex Ryan, who I think was the best person that's ever been on there. Texans won a division title after Hard Knocks. The Lions were good doing Hard Knocks. Colts did it, and I love doing it. So when you watch them, it's hard not to think, well, that team's going to do well, because you've seen more of them than you've seen of any team other than your own. And there's a lot of pressure on Caleb Williams, and I can't wait to see what those two defensive tackles do against him, getting penetration, stopping the run. Can't wait to see that game.
John, a lot of talk this weekend, and nothing, you know, from Goodell or the office, but about the NFL moving their season up to Labor Day weekend. I mean, Sunday we had one game. We sat around all day for that. Do you see a scenario where they move that up to Labor Day and then college football moves their opening up a week earlier as well?
When they used to play on Labor Day, their TV ratings always start in a hole. Too many people traveling. A lot of people now say the NFL's popularity has transcended and moved past Labor Day. But the fact is, you still have a lot of people traveling and going on vacation, their last one. And so when they moved it to the following week, it was a stroke of genius. Why test it? Because if you test it and your ratings are down, say they do it next year, and the ratings are down from this year, then it's all going to be negative from the national TV people. Why did they do that? Then they're going to have to tuck their tail between their legs and come back and do it later. I don't know why they would play on Labor Day. When they go to 18 games, Joe, they're going to give them two bye weeks, and they'll move the Super Bowl back. When you host a Super Bowl, like when the Titans get their new stadium, they're going to get a Super Bowl. And when they do, they will have to keep the entire month of February open. That means hotels, everything will have to be available in case something were to happen. Could be weather-wise, could be a catastrophe that you have to move the Super Bowl back. So the NFL could play the Super Bowl on opening day in baseball, and nobody and people would still watch it.
Right.
But you can't put it on a holiday. So if they start playing the Super Bowl in the middle of February instead of early in February, it's not going to change anything. So why would they want to play on Labor Day?
Ah, good point there. John, Green Bay in Philadelphia opened Friday night in Brazil. A lot of consternation on both squads about why are we here? We don't want to go. They're telling their families to stay away. Do you remember an international game where there was this much talk of, like, why are we here?
Well, first of all, when Darius Slay went on camera and said they've been told to stay in their hotel because of crime, why would they go to a country where there's crime? Family's not supposed to come. The Tourism Bureau, all the politicians in Brazil, you know they went crazy. They do this because they want to publicize their country, and that's not the way to do it. So, obviously, the NFL cringe. Jalen Hurts goes on camera yesterday, talks about, oh, we love Brazil and all this. And that is not the message they wanted to send. And you're not going to find a player for what he says, but it's pretty stupid for Darius Slay to say that at a time when they're hosting their first game and it's such a big deal down there. Now, yes, I've seen it. In 2016, the Texans played the Raiders in Mexico City. There were 99,000 people there. And the Associated Press had a story here about a memo sent out by the NFLPA and NFL to players about stay around your hotel and make sure you only drink bottled water. And, boy, the Mexican government, Mexican Tourism Bureau, the NFL, they all went ballistic. So the time they play somewhere they haven't played again, whether it's China, whether it's India, and those are coming because this is all about gambling, then they better make sure each player has read the Riot Act about what they say.
Oh, I agree with you on that. John McClain is with us. John, you had a great point back in the summer when all these wide receivers were signing these huge deals, when Calvin Ridley got a big deal. And you said, if I'm a defensive back, I'm thinking, what about us? Well, Patrick Surtain got a massive deal from the Broncos. And I'm going to further this with another question on top of this, John, is that I think the DBs are now catching up. But Travis Hunter in Colorado is playing both ways. And now people are saying, look, just play receiver because you're going to make $30 to $40 million more as a receiver being labeled as a DB. Do you see now, John, that with this deal with Surtain, that maybe the DB and the wide receiver discrepancy, that's going to start closing big time?
It all started, you're paying the quarterback. And who's getting the quarterback? Your defensive end specifically, your right defensive end playing off the weak side. Then who's the guy throwing to, the wide receiver? Who's covering them? The cornerback. You can cut back on running backs. You can cut back on inside linebackers. You can cut back on safeties. But you got to pay the other ones premium. Then all of a sudden, defensive tackles became important because they are the shortest path to the quarterback. And some of those guys that can get off the ball and get up the field and get after the quarterback, they started making the big bucks too. At one point, corners were equal with receivers. And if I'm Travis Hunter, he'll play the position that the NFL rates him the highest. And he might try, he may have an agent say, hey, he's going to play some corner too. No, that's not going to happen. Maybe an emergency, they might let him do it. But if I'm them, I'm playing him at wide receiver because he can score. One time Al Davis told me, we were talking about the American Football League, he always wanted to use his premium picks on guys who could score. He said the name of the game is to score points. He wanted quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, and that was his philosophy. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. But by and large, it's the people that directly affect the quarterback. And if I'm Travis Hunter and I watch that game, I'm going to be a wide receiver.
Oh, absolutely. John, big news that came out of Houston, I guess last night or this morning, Davis Mills signed to a one-year, $5 million quarterback, a backup quarterback, which is great. And that's another thing. It's like these backup quarterbacks are so valuable around the league. Why is Davis Mills so valuable to the Texans?
Well, he started most of his first two seasons. He had several 300-yard games. Talent around him was terrible, and they like how he has progressed under D'Amico Ryans and Bobby Slowick and quarterback coach Gerard Johnson. So he plays this year, fourth year under his rookie contract when he was a third-round pick, and then he'll get one more. And he may choose to stay. He may choose to become a free agent, and they hope he doesn't have to play. But last year, Stroud missed 2.5 games, and he came off the bench. He started the next one, and then Case Keenum started the one after that. They thought they were fooling the Browns, and it backfired. And so you hope to never have to pay the backup. But if you've got a veteran, then you feel comfortable if you have to play him. You don't want to do it for a significant period of time, of course. But if you just have to come in, somebody's not going to make a lot of mistakes of inexperience.
Ah, beautiful. All right, we'll take a break. We have more with John McClain on the other side. It's always fun talking to John. His knowledge is just so wonderful, and I could talk to him for days and days. We'll have more John McClain when we come back. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. All right, welcome back into the Chase and Big Joe Show. We'll continue our conversation with our good friend John McClain. John, NFL kicks off tomorrow night, and I got to tell you, John, the NFL's done a fantastic job with those Thursday night games, make it like a rock concert. It's a lot of fun. Do you like how they've done this, John, the last couple of years of just making it just a big event?
I do. I think that's the way you should kick off the NFL. It's the most popular sport, the most exciting sport. And when it comes to promotion, there's no other sport that can keep up with the NFL. It's amazing the things they do. Little things like moving the schedule away from Labor Day, man, improved TV ratings every year. And no matter what you think about gambling, it was always great for the NFL, but it was illegal unless you were in Vegas or a couple of other places. But now gambling has taken it to new heights. Fantasy football took it to another level. NFL Network has helped promote it. So things that they do, and then going on the streaming services, people complain about it, but then they do it. It's kind of like people complain about using tax dollars for stadiums, and then they're among the first people that line up for the first game to go to the new stadium, and people don't complain about it anymore.
We're talking to John McClain. And John, I had this circled that I was going to ask you about this. So Brian Callahan said a couple days ago, I don't know how this came up in his press conference, but the controlling owner, Amy Adams Strunk, picks the uniform combinations each week. And I kind of laughed at that. I'm like, shouldn't the owner be doing more important things? But was Bud that way? I mean, where does that come from?
I think most owners have something to do with it, if they are active owners, and Amy is. the McNair family is here as well. They have to approve anything that's big, and I'm sure Amy, that's important to her, and she takes a lot of pride in it. I don't know why they'd let anybody else. Who gives a damn, really, to me, what players are wearing? It only matters if they win or lose, and their great colors don't look so great if they lose. Some owners who are not absentee, but I'll guarantee you Stephen Ross, who's in New York, the Miami owner, Jody Allen, the sister of Paul Allen, who has to oversee her late brother's multi-billion-dollar empire, Stan Kroenke. Those guys are not involved with their teams. And one of the reasons Amy's been so popular up there, the opposite of her dad here, is because of her involvement and her relationships with the fans and I guess the media. And I know when I see her walking on the field before the game, talking to different people who are down there, I think that popularity that she has up there is one reason they were able to get to the stadium without a monster fight like these other cities are having to go through.
Yeah, and on that, because we've talked about it before and, you know, the comparisons between her and her dad, and I can remember when she first took over as controlling owner that, you know, she had to learn. I mean, it was a new thing for her, you know, taking over this aspect of the family business. And part of it was she ended up getting a house here and trying to be more, you know, here more and not in Houston like her dad was. So when was kind of the moment that you saw that change of – she was trying to put a, you know, not that I don't know if Bud just didn't put the effort in or what it was, but that she was trying to be different from her dad in that aspect.
Bud put a lot of effort into it early on, and he fired coaches so much, and then he made the most unpopular decision in franchise history on New Year's Eve in 1980 when he fired Bum Phillips, the most popular coach in history, and he was never able to recover from that. But the reason he fired him is he listened to his controller, Ladd Erza, who got promoted to Bum's job as general manager. And so, and he kind of stepped aside and let Ladd Erza go to league meetings and things like that. And so I don't think Amy specifically will say, well, Dad didn't do this, I'm going to do it. You're right. She had to grow into the job. I remember her first news conference. Remember, she would go to games there. But she lived on a ranch outside Houston. She's a horsewoman, loves horses, grew up with them. And I told her one time, early on, when I was up there, and I told her, I said, you are a natural for Nashville. And I thought, I'm talking about what you love. And I don't know if she'd ever even done an interview, except if they were related to, like, horses and magazines and ranches and things like that. Certainly nothing involved in the team. And I tell you, when I saw when the Titans played the Chiefs in the playoffs in Kansas City, and I remember how cold it was all about the weather, and I saw that she was hobnobbing with Titans fans who had made the way up there before the game in the cold. I think there's not another owner in football that would get out there and do that, and that's when I thought her popularity is going to soar. Now, you have to win some, too. You can't be a perennial loser. And fans love you if you're an owner. Like in their family, when they had people like Jack Easterby and Bill O'Brien, everybody wanted them to sell the team. And now they love them because everybody's so happy with D'Amico Ryans and C.J. Stroud. They're winning again. Now they love the McNairs. And owners learn how to handle that. And I think Amy's done a terrific job up there of ingratiating herself with the fans because she's smart. She knows that without the fans, none of that's possible.
Oh, absolutely. John, before they go, a lot of eyeballs are going to be on the Cowboys game on Sunday, obviously, because it's the Cowboys who are playing the Cleveland Browns, but also because the debut of Tom Brady. We've talked in the show, John, about Joe Montana, how he was picked to do that 30 years ago, but he didn't like critiquing the players. How do you expect Brady to do, John, on his debut on Sunday?
Well, those rules they put on him, he can't participate in any of the meetings. He can't criticize the officials. He can't criticize the players as long as he's trying to buy a piece of the Raiders. So he has – it's like he's taken over a team that was, let's see, I think 5-11, and they go to the Super Bowl. I think he'll go to the Super Bowl. I think he's going to be outstanding. I've listened to him a lot on that show Get Up on Monday. not Get Up, that's ESPN, Let's Go, when he was very critical without being controversial, very knowledgeable, very informative. And now Tom Brady doesn't do anything halfway. I think he will be outstanding despite all the limitations the NFL has put on him that they haven't put on any other analyst.
He is John McClain, joins us each Wednesday at 9:30. We'll have actual games to talk about, results next week. Looking forward to it, John.
Joe, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much. Good luck to the Titans, and hope all your listeners have a great season.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you.
Thanks, John. We'll talk next week. John McClain joining us here on the program. Always look forward to that. I just saw a tweet that I have to bring up with you because I'm sitting here laughing and shaking my head.
Do it.
We'll do that next.
Got Derek Mason coming up.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so here it is real quick. Sorry. Sorry, Coach. Here it is real quick. Status, this is John Glennon, status of the Titans 21 draft class headed into week one.
Okay.
First round pick, Caleb Farley, unsigned. Second round pick, Dylan Raidens, Titans starting right guard. Third round pick, Monty Rice, practice squad, Falcons. Elijah Molden, Chargers backup corner. Dez Fitzpatrick, fourth round pick, practice squad, Chargers. Rashad Weaver, practice squad, Texans. Racy McMath, unsigned. Brady Breeze, unsigned.
Unbelievable. The best part of that is that John Glennon's awake before 10.
The best part of that is that Dylan Raidens is the one left.
The one left.
That's amazing.
It's all practice squad team, baby.
Coach Derek Mason, MTSU, going to join us next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
What defines Ohio? A place that dares to go first and never looks back. There's no slowing us down. In Ohio, we're powering America, discovering breakthroughs, driving the future, propelling tomorrow. At Jobs Ohio, our mission is clear. Strengthen job opportunities and empower Ohio's workforce. Ohio, our time is now. See Ohio's momentum at jobsohio.com/ohio's time.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.